I'll tell you what. I've been praying a prayer. I off and on praying it half-heartedly for a number of years, but it's becoming more urgent to me now to have the heart of Jesus. I want the heart of Jesus. I want his passion for people. I want his passion. I want his compassion. I want his love. I want everything Jesus in my life. And I don't want anything to stand in the way. And, you know, it's a humbling prayer. And I keep waiting for a lightning bolt, and it hasn't hit yet. But I'm feeling the presence of God growing in me. So I pray that's your prayer also. All right. I'm going to talk today out of Matthew chapter 7. And I've named my sermon Hearing and Acting. And I wanted to start off with just a situation that happened in 2018, I think. Hurricane Michael hit a town called Mexico Beach, Florida. I don't know if you remember that or not. Devastated most of the town, left a wide path of destruction. However, one house survived relatively unscathed. It was completed in April of 2018, so it had only been finished 6 months before the hurricane hit. How did this house, built on the beach, survive when so many others didn't? It was designed and constructed with a hurricane in mind. So this picture vividly illustrates the look of it. Can you imagine having that one house with everything else around it? The only thing they lost was an outdoor staircase, which they built specifically to break away in case of a storm. And they had a broken window. The Sermon on the Mount concludes with a contrasting story that's very revealing when you take a deeper look at it. And I want to talk about that, but I want to take a few minutes first and talk about the first phrase, and then I'll continue on. And that first phrase says this: therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. And I had a situation, well, when I first read this, one particular phrase jumped out. These words of mine. And I thought to myself, what are these words? And I think it's critical if we're going to have a relationship with Jesus, if we're going to be like him, if we're going to pursue what he loves and wants, we need to know what he's talking about here. Whoever hears these words, or everyone actually, who hears these words, because everyone who hears the words has to make a decision. And as we go into the story, we'll know a little bit more about what that looks like. But let's take a look. First of all, these words of mine reflect Jesus himself. Jesus said, I only speak what the Father tells me. But if you look at the first chapter of John, it starts out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Right? Jesus calls himself the Word of God, or John calls him that if you want to look at it that way. But then you look at verse 14, what does that say? Then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God himself, the very spoken Word of God, put on himself a human body and came to earth. The epitome, the total, complete picture of what the Word of God is, was fulfilled in Jesus while he was here. And I challenge you today, because I believe God is calling us to be the Word made flesh to those who need to know Jesus, to those who are struggling, to those who are addicted, to those who are bound by things. God is calling us to be the Word of God. But in order to be the Word of God, we have to have those words in us, and they have to become us. So it's a matter of replacing us with the Word of God. And that's what I wanted to talk about. So while I was camping last week, and I was pondering this phrase, what are these words? I thought about some of the scriptures that are in the Sermon on the Mount, which is where my text is taken from. And I just want to read a couple. But if you want to really know what these words are, think of all the times where Jesus said, it has been said, dot, 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 but I say, dot, dot, dot. The focus is on what Jesus says in that case. And then there are the times where he says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you. All right. And those words are the pure word of God. Now, I have an image that I asked Shannon to put up. This is a picture I took out of my back window. And this is basically a cardinal sitting on a tree. He was nice enough to sit there for 10 minutes so I could go get my camera, put on my lens, focus it, and take a picture. So this is what is on my photo card. All right, so I decided I wanted to make a copy. So here's the copy, the first copy. And it's close. You can see everything there, right? But it's changed just a little. This is what happens when we start trying to interpret the Word of God on our own. And as we look at the next picture, this is a copy of the copy. And as we go through here, just kind of goes through, you can see each progressive picture gets worse and worse in quality until we get to the last one, where you can still tell it's a cardinal, you can still tell it's on a tree, but you can't see much of anything else. And this is what happens a lot of times when we start listening and believing what other people say that the Word of God says instead of what God says. Now, contrast this picture with the original picture. Now you can see things much clearer. So I'm here to tell you today that the Bible has the answer and that Jesus' words will bring us that clarity if we allow it to. But sometimes we have to just kind of put aside the things we think we know so that we can get to the point of hearing exactly what Jesus said. So a couple other words. Do not resist an evil person. That's kind of hard. You know, I think about that. If you forgive others their trespasses, your Father will forgive you yours. Which, by the way, is the only conditional statement in the Lord's Prayer. Never thought about that until I read it. It's the only conditional statement, and he goes on to explain that at the end of the Lord's Prayer. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not treasures on earth. Or how about seek first the kingdom of God? These are words, these are sayings that Jesus had. These are things that we need to look at and actually weigh our lives against to see if we're fulfilling those types of things. Then, of course, there's the golden rule. Whatever you would that men would do to you, do to them. You know, treat others as you want to be treated. So those are some of the sayings. And I just wanted to put a few into your mind so you can, when you read the Bible and you're looking at that and going, is this a saying that Jesus wants me to know about? Is this something that I can grasp a hold of? Is there something about what he is saying here that I need to do something about? Because as we get into the rest of the text on here, Matthew 7, 24 to 27, and I'm going to read it here, you'll see that there are things that need to happen. Number one, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And that rock there is Petra, by the way. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. And it collapsed with a great crash. Now, most people, when we hear about this particular passage of scripture, we think about people who built in two different ways. Well, really, the issue isn't the foundation that it's built on. It's the forethought that has gone into the building. When people build in the Middle East, they drill down to bedrock because they know that whatever's above it is shifting. And there are people who will go down 40, 50 feet to hit bedrock, and then they will build up from that their footings, and then they will build arches and build around that so they can build that. So when we look at the foundation, we have to look at what is the rock. Of course, the rock is Jesus. So then we have to build our foundations on that rock. And many times as we looked at those pictures that were getting lesser and lesser in quality, it's impressions and expectations that we have that don't match up. So let me give you a couple examples here. On the road to Emmaus after Jesus was resurrected, there were two disciples who were walking down the road talking about what happened, and Jesus pops into the picture. What are you talking about? Are you the only one from Jerusalem who doesn't know these things? What things, Jesus said. About this Jesus who did all these miracles and all these works. And here's what I want you to key in on here. It was he, they said, and this is verse 21, who we had hoped was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. Now, Jesus had just finished 3 years of ministry to these people, and he had raised from the dead. They didn't know he was raised from the dead yet, but they didn't understand because they thought he had died. But even though they knew he had died and they had heard he had resurrected because they told Jesus that, they thought Jesus was there to redeem them from Rome. That's not what Jesus was there for. He was there to redeem them, but from sin, not from Rome. And they didn't catch that. So they had this expectation, and because that expectation was shattered, they didn't know what to think. They didn't know what to do. It's like the foundation was on sand. And once that foundation was shaken, it fell. They didn't know what to do, what to think. I was reading in Our Daily Bread, and it had a story about a man named Philip Johnson, who was an attorney. We all know how attorneys are. But this guy was also involved in intelligent design program. So his thought process was, all right, there's intelligent design here no matter what. He was a Christian. He believed everything, and he thought he was a pretty good Christian. One day he had a stroke. And he was told that he might have another one. And in the first days after that stroke, he was really concerned. My livelihood is with my brain. My brain is now gone. What's going to happen? And somebody walked in to visit him, and they started singing a hymn. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And it touched that man. How many of you know that hymn? Yeah. Amen. I figured most of us would. But it touched him because he realized that he had put his livelihood, his identity, his focus on what he knew and his brain. And his brain all of a sudden had failed him. And he said, from that day forward, I started putting Jesus first in everything, and I am a different person. And that's what he was talking about here. It's not that he was purposefully building on sand. It's just that the looks of it seemed solid. There was a tower in San Francisco. Well, there still is a tower in San Francisco. It's called the Millennium Tower. And I'm telling you about this because it's an ongoing thing. And if you know what real estate prices are like in San Francisco, well, what they were like a few years ago. All right, so I guess you figure that out. This was a 56-story tall residential tower, 241 units. It was the top floor, well, it's 58 stories. The top floor was 60, but they didn't have 13 and 44, superstitious reasons. Right, so anyway, but you've got all these high-end, beautiful, beautiful tower started sinking on one side, and it started tilting. And for every inch that building tilted at the floor, up at the top, it was tilting 5 inches. And they didn't start addressing it until that building was tipping 24 inches. Can you imagine being up on the top floor and looking down, and you're over the street pretty much? Right? So basically what they had to do was they had to go down next to the pilings, because what had happened was they dug down about 300 feet with these pilings. But the bedrock was 350 feet. They got to a very compacted sand and put that there. But then they built this concrete building up on top of it, and it wasn't strong enough to manage it. So what other buildings had done is they would go down to the bedrock, or they would get so close that they would allow for a little settling and then it would settle onto the bedrock. But this one just didn't. It just kind of... So they spent $150 million putting pilings in to attach to the pilings, and they've actually reversed the tilt a little bit, but it's not really reversed. Because what has happened is they're holding it up, and now the other side of the building is dropping down, and it's pulling the building back up. But the building, can you imagine paying $2.5 million for a condominium on this, in this thing, and then finding out your building is tipping 2 feet? Doesn't make sense to me, does it make sense to you? It just doesn't make sense. So the foundation has to be the rock. But we've put our foundation in so many other things, or we've put those things between the rock and us, that sometimes those things shift. And we have to get to the point where I have to build on the rock. I have to build on the rock. I have to go back to what Jesus said. I have to go back to that original cardinal picture, because that's where I'm going to see all the little nuances that I need to know about Jesus and what Jesus wants me to do. You see, I just think about how many times I've let things get in the way of what I wanted God to do, or what God wanted me to do. And I grieve sometimes, you know, and I believe that I have to grieve what I should have done but didn't, but I can't let it define me, because Jesus has come in and he's fixing me. Notice I didn't say fixed. He's fixing me and putting in me a new heart. And I love it and I'm scared of it at the same time. But there's coming a point, and I know we've all know what's going on in the world today, where people are starting to fear, and fear is starting to be peddled, and people want us to walk into fear. Now, did you know CDC is now pushing a vaccine again? Right, got to keep an updated vaccine. Who is sick? Who is sick? But they're pushing the fear from 3 years ago. And they're saying it's going to be worse if we don't do this. And they're trying to be proactive. So in talking about that, I want to go back to that house. Because what they did when they built that house was they decided that the rulings and the laws regarding building were insufficient. They had changed the rulings in the state of Florida in 1998 after Hurricane Andrew so that houses on the Atlantic coast had to withstand wind speeds of 175 miles an hour. But on the west coast, the Gulf side, they said it only needed to be 120 because typically the hurricanes that came up that way and hit weren't as strong. Well, the owners of this house said, I don't like that. I want to build a house that's going to stand a hurricane. So what they did was they built this house. They put in footings 40 foot deep. It went down 40 feet, reinforced concrete with rebar. Then they came up. They built the house. It's all concrete instead of wood. So they built the house out of concrete, and they ran rebar from those footings up through the walls and over the roof and down the other side. So they effectively built a frame around the house so that the footings on the back side of the house were holding up the footings on the front side of the house and resisting that wind that was coming. So that was one thing they did. Well, the buyers, people who wanted to build, they wanted these nice big overhangs on their roof, right, to kind of shade a little bit. And the builder goes, do you want a hurricane-proof house or not? So they moved those overhangs down, so they're only about 6 inches wide. Still overhang, but not very much. Then they wanted big picture windows in there, all around. And the guy goes, do you want a hurricane-proof house or not? Right. So they basically replaced a lot of the big windows with smaller ones and filled that all in with concrete. So you can see there's not a whole lot of picture windows facing the ocean on this or the Gulf, but it stood. It stood. And the point I'm trying to make on this is if you look at it, they planned ahead. They didn't wait for the hurricane to come and say, this is what I want to do. They planned ahead. They thought about it ahead. They studied the weather. They studied building. They studied everything ahead of time. And what Jesus is telling us to do is that's what we need to do. We can't wait for Satan to come along and harass us to know what God wants us to do. I think of baseball players. I played baseball when I was a kid. I thought I was pretty good, but I never played past eighth grade, so I guess that's it. But I remember the coaches giving us this advice. When you're standing at third base and there's a runner on first and a runner on second, you need to know exactly what you're going to do when that ball comes to you. And it's going to depend on where the ball is hit, if it's a bunt, if it's a line drive, if you dive for it. You have to know what you're going to do. Are you going to get the easy out at first? Are you going to try and get third? What are you going to try and do? What do you want to do? And they made us think through these scenarios so that when the scenario hit, we didn't have to think about it. And Jesus wants us to be that familiar with his word so that when things happen, we don't have to think about what Jesus wants us to do. It's right here and ready to go. And he wants us to walk in those words of his so that we can be like wise men who built on the rock. We have to understand the rock is the source of our strength, but we have to build on it. And he wants us to be building on it. So I think about that when I think about the words of the wise, you know, because it wasn't like he intentionally built on the rock and the other one intentionally built on the sand. The other one just didn't think about where he was building. He just went along with what everybody else thought and what everybody else said. And you know the things that are going on in the Christian world today are causing a lot of people to be shaken in their faith. When God is saying, this shouldn't be shaking you, this should be strengthening you, this should be causing you to draw closer to God, because now you're dealing with people who are disillusioned or who are blaming Christianity or saying Christianity sucks or whatever, and they're saying, what's worth it? But Jesus is saying, build your house on this, on the rock. Go back. I can tell you that Jesus is not like any of these preachers who have fallen. He's not. Following Jesus is not like following the man. It's not the same. It can't be the same because man is fallible. Everything that man does and has is sinking sand. I was reading an article, and this caught my attention because it happened in Maine, and my daughter lived in Maine, and we walked on some of these beaches in Maine. But a husband and wife were walking along the beach one day, just la 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 la, walking along the beach. How many of you walked on the beach? Ever walked on the beach? Okay. All right. All of a sudden, this woman is sunk down to her knees in sand. The sand gave away beneath her, and she could not get out. Her husband, fortunately, was able to pull her out. But then I found out that there's actually procedures that you can do to get out of quicksand. I never knew that. But I never thought about it, even though I walk on sand all the time. See, that's the type of thing that Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to be prepared with his word so that when something happens that challenges our faith, that challenges our belief, that challenges our expectations, we were hoping he would do this or this or this. It's still okay because Jesus is still God. And that's where we need to be. We don't want to be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the one thing I noticed about this, well, there's a lot of one things I noticed about this. Pardon me for being repetitious, but, you know, it's like a preacher doing five conclusions, that type of thing. But verse 25 and verse 27 are identical, except for the result. I don't know if you noticed that or not. The rains came, the winds blew, the floods rose. Both times, it was exactly word for word, at least in the Christian Standard Bible. It might be different in some of the other ones. But it's the same words. So the same event was happening to the man who built on the rock and the man who built on the sand. And both of them had very, I'm sure, nice-looking homes. But they didn't make it if they were built on the sand. So that's the thing that I think Jesus is wanting us to know. And I want to conclude. I know I'm early, but that's okay. I want to conclude by just reinforcing a couple things here. Number one, who can see God without holiness? Who? Who does no one include? Everyone. No one can see God without holiness. Do you know what holiness looks like? How about this one? Who can please God without faith? No one. Do you know what faith looks like? Do you see what I'm trying to get at? These words of mine that bring eternal life, we have to know what they mean and put them into practice, Jesus said. Those who hear my words, anyone who hears my words and does them, and does them. The problem that I think we have is that to do them, it's in the flesh restrictive. God wants us to give things up. And what things does he want us to give up? Well, I'm not going to give you a list. I have my own. God will give you a list of things that are important to you, that he wants you to give to him. So, two houses, two foundations, two options, act or don't act. One universal requisite. Hear these words of mine. And one storm. So when we listen to everything going on and we see the things that are happening and we read the Bible and we know that the end times are going to bring hard times, and we know that persecution is coming, and we know that all these things are happening, are we built on the sand, or are we built on the rock? That's the choice that God is giving us, and that's the choice that Jesus wants us to have. Not keep me out of the storm, keep me through the storm. And if, as we go through the storm, people will see our good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And that's the goal. We want people to know that no matter what is happening here, Jesus is our Prince of Peace. Jesus is our answer. Jesus is our source. And he wants us to go to the original and pull up that original and say, here, this is it. You know, there's a, what's that old, I don't remember, there's a saying I heard, there's an app for that. I don't remember what the advertisement was for, but I remember the tagline. There's an app for that. All right, and there's a verse for that. There's a verse for that. Anything you're going through, there's a verse for that. If you look for it. You know, it's not always easy to dig a foundation, especially in sand, because the sand wants to fill up the hole as soon as you dig it. I used to dig wells. I know what it's like. Get down so far and we're just digging the same dirt up because it's collapsing. So what we would end up having to do is drop down our big wide tiles and then put a smaller bit on it so that as we dug down, those tiles would drop. That's just what you have to do. It's not easy to follow Jesus, but it's rewarding. Amen. And as we allow ourselves to stop thinking about here, just like this lawyer, everything he built on that was temporal was shattered when he had a stroke. But he found the rock that changed and upheld his life from that point forward. And that's what Jesus wants us to do, is to rely on that rock and let that rock build us up. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the words that you speak, even though sometimes I don't like them. They're there for a reason, Lord, so I can't ignore it. So I ask, Father, that as I get into your word, as I study your word, as I seek your face, as I desire to be like you, as I ask you, Lord, and I plead with you to let me have your heart, Jesus, that you would reveal yourself to me through your words, and that you would reveal yourself to each one here who is in a position, Lord, of hearing your words. Lord, let us be people that do them or act on them and listen to you and let your spirit move through us, Father, and not try to figure out what you're wanting to do. Father, I pray that our hearts would be open to hear your word and do it in Jesus' name. So I'd like to ask.